Wednesday, January 11, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope it's off to a good start. You know, you're only a couple of days away from the weekend again. And you know, it's kind of tough as we get past those holidays. Now you're back into the grind. We're back into that familiar territory of doing the same thing every week. But have no fear, because we do have the NFL playoffs coming. Hope your week is going well, and hope that you and your family and your friends are all staying healthy right now. Hey, and right off the top, the college football season is now complete. And while that makes me sad, makes me a little bit upset that I don't have college football to watch anymore, it was a very, very fun season. And you know, sure enough, we talked about this a little bit last week. Right after we got that amazing semifinal week, we had crazy close games in that Final Four. The national championship did not live up to the hype in any capacity whatsoever, as the Georgia Bulldogs win back-to-back national titles. They absolutely throttled the Texas Christian Horned Frogs 65-7 in a game that, honestly, I don't think it was that close. The Big 12 did not appear to be ready for the smoke of the SEC at all. Former walk-on quarterback Stetson Bennett threw 6 touchdowns, and you can see very early that TCU was in some big trouble. You know, I'm watching the first maybe 2 series, and I'm watching TCU try to go empty backfield. They're going to go 5 wide. They're going to throw that ball all over the place like they do in the Big 12. And that Bulldog defensive front just about killed poor TCU quarterback Max Duggan. He had a rough night. It reached a point where he couldn't even make the easy throws that he did have open. He was under pressure all night. Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, he has now taken the crown from Alabama coach Nick Saban. Athens, Georgia is the top college football destination in the country. Who'd have thought that the University of Georgia, who kind of had a little bit of that hard luck reputation, aside from that one single season back in 1980, hey, when the Dogs dumped head coach Mark Richt back in 2015, they brought in Kirby Smart, there were a number of people saying it was a big, big mistake. Nope, not even close. Kirby Smart is the man in college football right now. Congrats to the Georgia Bulldogs. They are on top of the college football world right now. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the videos. And we have links to Daily Dose gear. If you're looking for a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, a coffee mug, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com and checking out what we have going on over there every week. Hey, today on the show, we are doing something a little bit different, because we are going to be joined by a few friends of the Dose to preview those NFL playoffs that are already getting started this week. In fact, we have so much to get to. Let's just get over to our esteemed NFL panel right now. Joining us today on the Daily Dose, we are bringing back some friends of the Dose to check in and kind of preview how these NFL playoffs are going to go. And I'm looking at these playoffs right now. They expanded the playoffs. It might be completely wild. I don't know exactly what to expect, but it's going to be a lot of fun to try to figure this out. First up, we have Big Rob, sitting president of the Daily Dose I-Team. Rob, welcome back to the Daily Dose. Always enjoy your visits.
Yes, thank you. It's good to be here. Ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, the playoffs should be a lot of fun. Mike is coming into us from the plains out in Castle Rock there. I believe he's got some cattle back behind him. Mike, how are you doing today? Are you looking forward to the NFL playoffs?
No cattle, just mountains, but every year I always look forward to the playoffs.
It is so funny, and it's funny because, you know, 3 of us here have no vested interest in these playoffs, and yet I still can't wait for them. Like, it's going to be must-see TV. You can't wait for them whatsoever, because they're going to be so much fun. And it is a single elimination tournament. It gets no better than that. It's March Madness. Just in the NFL. Finally, we have the savvy veteran and excited Utah Ute fan, because it turns out that quarterback Cameron Rising is coming back for his 17th year. Larry from Centennial. Larry, welcome back to the Daily Dose.
Thanks, Clint. Good to be here with my fellow football experts. Yes.
Always fun. You know, we have a number of things to get to today. We're going to hand out some awards. We're going to preview who's going to win these games coming up. We're going to preview who's going to go to the Super Bowl and who's going to win the dang thing. But before we get there, we've got a lot of stories that we want to talk about first. We've got a lot of things we need to touch on. And what better people to reach out and pick the brains of than the Brain Trust right here? They're going to set us straight and let us know what's up. Maybe the biggest story of this NFL season has been all the injuries. I mean, think about just the quarterbacks. San Francisco 49ers lost two quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo's gone for the year. They're down to the third stringer. LA Rams quarterback Matt Stafford, he's gone. Lamar Jackson has been dinged up. We don't know if he's going to play. Jalen Hurts has been dinged up, but he played the final week of the regular season. Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, he looked like he was like a seizure he had on the field earlier in the season. We don't know his status exactly just yet. We'll see what's going to happen there. And then, just last week, we all watched the horrifying play where Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin took a helmet to the chest, had to get CPR right on the field. The NFL ended up canceling that game between Buffalo and the Cincinnati Bengals. Basically, they kind of came back and said, okay, no one should ever play in Cincinnati again, was, I think, the bottom line. I don't know. Rob, should we just cancel football? Can injuries be avoided? Can they legislate these injuries out of the game? What do we do here?
I mean, you can only make it as safe as you can. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a brutal sport. I mean, there's always going to be injuries. And, you know, I don't think you can get rid of football just from the business side of it. It's too big of a business. And like I said, there's no way to really, prevent the injuries. They can, you know, keep working on better helmets and pads and things like that. I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's a violent game.
Well, and I kind of struggled. And look, I know I'm old man, get off my lawn. I get it. But when it was like, we're going to cancel the game and not play it, and we had to go to some coin flip, I was like, you're going to have to get back on the field at some point. I don't know when the line is. And I understand, you know, Skip Bayless came out with a tweet, how are they going to make this up? And it was like a tone deaf kind of tweet at the time, because he did it right in the moment. And yet I kind of understood what he was saying. He just said it at a really bad time. Mike, was it totally idiotic to say, well, yeah, but they have to make up the game at some point, don't they? I mean, they didn't do it, but I don't know how you avoid getting on the field. This is what you do.
First and foremost, the NFL's a business.
Yes.
And I saw a bunch of ideas floated around how they could do it, play that game and then the NFC games next weekend, and then the AFC first round the following weekend, where the NFC teams get a bye, and then I don't know. There's so much that's planned somewhat ahead of time for these things, making changes, you know, within a week of them. I don't think logistically they could have made sense out of it. I don't like that the game was canceled, but I understand why. To go back to, you know, what you were asking, Rob, I mean, how many tackles are there every game? How many games a week are there? How many games a year are there? How long has football been playing? This has never happened before. It was a once in a lifetime, one in a billion chance that he took the hit at the exact spot where his heart was sending some electrical pulse or something like that, and it caused him to go into cardiac arrest. I mean, it was freaky.
It was.
People going to cardiac arrest all the time. That's something you can't legislate out of the game.
What could you possibly do? Yeah. It's such
There's
a freak
literally
play.
Nothing that would have prevented that.
No. I have an idea. Larry can, I'll sound this off of Larry and you guys can tell me what you think. Can Damar Hamlin possibly run for president in this country? Because I haven't seen everyone pull together on everything, like all in the same direction for one person since like 9/11. We are having like moments of silence for this guy. We're having parades. We're having fundraisers. There's t-shirts. There's tattoos. I think Make-A-Wish kids are asking if they can get CPR in the Bengals field. Like everybody is all in on this kid. Nobody's all in on everybody. Can we please get this guy to run for president? Because it seems like it's the direction we need to go in. We are all cheering for Damar Hamlin. Larry, you voting for Hamlin for president? Because I like the idea.
No, but, well, I guess it depends who he's running against, right?
You've seen what's in Washington. Come on.
It's turning out to be a good story, right? But, you know, I have a more cynical view of it.
Me too.
And players like to, you know, and they certainly have rallied around, this guy in particular.
Yeah.
But you know, there were plenty of hits over last weekend where they don't seem to be looking out for each other's health. We still see, you know, head hits. We see a lot of other things that clearly show that, you know, they're not just trying to tackle. They're trying to put somebody out of the game. I think it has gotten better, but it's gotten better because there's penalties associated with that now. On any other Sunday, you'd see players just trying to kill each other, not literally, but you know. So I think it's a good story. I'm fine with it. What the players have to do to go out there and talk themselves into getting, you know, aggressive and things like that, I appreciate that. And at the same time, you know, if they have a peer that gets hurt like that, and like Mike said, this has not happened before. So to try and figure out scheduling and things like that, there was never going to be a perfect way to do it. I think people ought to probably get over, you know, the details about it and just move on.
Well, and you bring up a really good point, because live in the moment, we heard a lot of criticism of the NFL, and the NFL never protects their players and stuff like that. And you bring up a good point. Sunday night in the Detroit Green Bay game, we saw a kid for Green Bay literally try to take a guy's head off, like threw the forearm to his face and then shoved a trainer. It went, hey, these guys are mercenaries. They're coming in to cause, you know, damage. And then we get mad when there's damage caused. So. Right. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. It's a violent game. Having said that, I'm going to throw something out there. You don't have to play. I mean, it's not like they're drafting just the people off the street and saying you got to come play this game whether you want to or not. You choose to play, and there are risks there. You know, Rob and I had talked a little bit last week, and there's some people really mad about the NFL and the health coverage, and I'm sitting there going, we all played like in high school. We didn't have any health coverage. Your health coverage, look at these kids in college. They don't get anything. If you are there at the university for those 4 years, after that, you're not getting anything. So, I mean, at least these NFL guys get some money, maybe help offset the cost. I understand it's not all fair. It's not all rosy. This was kind of a freak thing, and there are sadder cases out there. You know, one thing that was interesting in the final week of the season, aside from this story, and by the way, the kickoff return, the opening kick, or that was insane. Like, Hollywood. You couldn't draw that out. It literally was Hollywood. But one thing we saw that had nothing to do whatsoever with the playoffs, the top pick in the NFL draft changed hands in the final week of the season. The Houston Texans rallied late. They win their final game against those disappointing Indianapolis Colts. So now the NFL draft will be the Chicago Bears at number one, the Houston Texans at two, Arizona will have the number three pick, Indy is the four pick, and Seattle will get that pick from Denver at number five. Mike, how will Chicago screw this draft up?
Well, they think they got their franchise quarterback, so I think they'll screw it up by not trading it, or if they don't trade it.
Yeah, that might be the screw up right there.
This is anticipated to be a very top-heavy, quarterback-friendly draft.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of teams in that top 10 that are starving for a quarterback.
Sure they are.
That will give up everything to get it. So if Chicago picks there and they don't move back to 4, 5, 6, 7, something like that, and pick up another 5 picks for that, that's how they screw it up.
Good answer. Rob, if you had the top pick in the NFL draft this year, what player are you taking?
I think, like Mike said, I think if you don't need a quarterback, you probably trade it, you know, for more picks.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any really surefire players, you know, coming out, including quarterbacks. I mean, there's some pretty good ones, but I mean, again, with picks, you never know. But yeah, with nothing, with no automatic can't miss pick, yeah, I think you maybe try to trade down and get more picks.
Rob, I'm taking that kid you took for your Heisman pick, Will Anderson out of Alabama.
Yeah.
That linebacker is about the closest thing to a sure thing as I have seen this year. There's a lot of maybes. He, to me, looks like the guy. I think I'd be going there. Larry, how painful is it to see Seattle getting that number five pick from Denver?
Oh, it's brutal, isn't it? Well, yeah. And to think that it could have been higher, right?
So, oh, yeah. Fortunately, we rallied.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Seattle, look, they did exactly what they should have done, right? That if there's a blueprint for figuring out how to ship a player off that you deem no longer, you know, worthy of playing for you and getting as much as you possibly can, you know, for the Denver fans and for the Broncos, it was the worst. It may go down as the worst trade could be of all time. And for Seattle, it was greatest. So you win some, you lose some, right? But it's going to be tough to recover from a Denver standpoint. And if you're Seattle, you are just laughing all the way to the bank.
I think Seattle's got to do something with those picks. You go out there and draft a bunch of nobodies and they never turn into anything. Then I go, well,
yeah.
I mean, they took a shot and they took a shot and it failed, but you didn't get anything for it. But you've got to translate. And Seattle hasn't had a great history as of late doing that. So we'll see. But I think that weighs into your equation of is it the worst trade ever. We got to see what they do with it. If they go build something with it, yeah, it might be very, very easy.
This is a Cowboys Herschel Walker deal.
Right, right. To do that, though, you've got to go get, you know, Russell Maryland and go get Leon Lett and go get all those studs that built that team, because that changed everything. I don't think we're going to see quite the same movement as we did last year in this coming offseason. And I know we'll talk about that down the road, but we could still see some movement and some quarterback movement in this offseason. Tom Brady could be done in Tampa. Any chance maybe he goes San Francisco, goes to Miami, goes to Las Vegas, maybe. What do the Miami Dolphins do with Tua? Is he going to play? Is he done? I have no idea. Three head injuries in the same year, kind of scary. The LA Rams, I think, have a decision to make. Don't know Matt Stafford's status. I've heard he wants to play again. Baker Mayfield looked good against Denver, but he didn't look good really other than that. Is Derek Carr on the move? What about Jimmy G? What about Aaron Rodgers? We saw his game on Sunday night. A lot of talk. Didn't want to trade the jersey. Maybe he's done. Maybe that's the final jersey. I have a feeling Aaron's just kind of a jerk. What do the Colts do? What do the Raiders do? Rob, what moves do you expect to see this offseason? Are we going to see a bunch of quarterback movement?
I think we will. Not last season, but the one before. You saw Stafford come into the Rams.
Yeah.
And, you know, take them to the Super Bowls, that missing piece. And I think a lot of teams have that on their mind. Obviously didn't work with the Colts and Matt Ryan. But I think, you know, if a team is that close, you know, it's kind of worth it. If you can get a veteran that still has something left, you know, almost have to try it.
Yeah, it feels like you have to gauge, is it a Matt Ryan or is it a Matt Stafford? Like, which one are you getting? If you get the right one, you just might pull something out. One thing we always see at this time of the year as well is how many guys get fired, but it's been kind of quiet this year. We know this year Carolina fired their head coach, Matt Rhule. The Colts fired Frank Reich. The Broncos fired Nathaniel Hackett about a year too late. The Houston Texans fired Lovie Smith, and the Cardinals fired Cliff Kingsbury. Mike, are all of these firings the right move? Are these all good riddance? Anybody you see and go, I don't know if they should have done that. Anybody getting a raw deal here?
The only one that's remotely questionable is Lovie.
How do you fire Lovie? All they did was compete. He has no talent.
He did a lot with a little, but
I thought he did.
You know, they're stacked with draft picks coming up. Yeah. I think, you know, he was a placeholder. You know, they may shoot for the moon with one of the top candidates that are coming out here, whether it's a new unproven guy or the Harbaughs and whatnot. I think they kind of want to wipe the slate clean. The problem is, though, if you're starting from the bottom and starting with a young team, you need a Lovie Smith.
Yes, you do. That's my problem with it. You need the veteran.
Because Peyton and Harbaugh can pick and choose where they go.
Right. They're not going there.
And they're not going to start with it at the bottom.
No.
So
no, why would you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they put into place there.
One coach that did announce they'd be back, a little bit surprising, a little bit maybe concerning, because we saw consistently this year they got out-coached. Their team played dumb. They didn't look well-coached. But, Larry, somehow Bill Belichick is going to be back. How in the world did that happen? My goodness. The Patriots looked like idiots half the time this year. How did he get that job again?
Well, he won some games that he probably shouldn't have and lost some games that, you know, that they deserve to lose. Bill Belichick still runs a show. I think he still has some bank in New England.
Yeah, he must. Right? All the Super Bowls must have earned him a little bit. You better go get some coordinators, though, because the Patriots, like, all kidding aside, they look like idiots half the time this year.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about this in years past where that combination worked, right, with Brady there.
Yep.
What was going to happen when Brady wasn't there and Belichick was left with the draft, his drafting record and stocking picks, but not ever really using them? For anybody, you know, really high in the draft, I guess. So I think those things are coming to fruition now, right?
Yeah.
And but doesn't mean you fire a guy. And I think Robert Kraft has been around for a while. He is looking at the landscape. I mean, honestly, who are you going to get that is better than Bill Belichick? And I think you're spot on, right? Any good head coach has good coordinators. Get a couple of those and Belichick can pretty much, you know, write the rest if he wants to.
Yeah, you're right. If he goes this year, I don't even know if they had a guy down as like their offensive coordinator. It was just like, oh, Matt Patricia. I mean, it looked like a mom and pop restaurant trying to run. Like, it is so strange. Yeah, Robert Kraft, I know he has faith in Bill. I'm sure he'll go get a good rub down and think about it, but let's talk a little bit about some of the surprises that we saw this year in the NFL, because every year there are teams that come out and at the beginning of the year, you're saying no chance, no chance, no way. They're not going to do it. They're not good. They're not there yet. We think back to last year. Well said. Cincinnati's coming, but they're not there yet. They go all the way to the Super Bowl. If you're looking at one of your top surprises this year, pleasant surprise, not bad surprise. We'll get to that in a minute. Rob, who do you have as a surprise that you're like, I don't know that I expected them to be that good this year? Who do you got?
I'm going to start with the Jets. I know we all talked about them. We like their young talent, and they hit on a lot of it. Like I said, Zach Wilson, questionable, but when Mike White came in, he gave him some good play.
Yeah.
Sauce Gardner, running back, Breece Hall got hurt early. So they had a lot of young talent that looked good. I mean, I still think they're a couple seasons away, but I was just surprised on, like I said, I think they got some pieces there.
Yeah, and I thought they'd be like that 4-13 kind of team, 5-12. They did better than that. They were kind of in a playoff hunt. Who would have dreamed the New York Jets would have been anywhere near the playoffs? They were scrappy. Not bad at all. I love the job that Sal has done. He's done a phenomenal job. He's got a really tough defense, and they battle every single week. Mike, biggest surprise this year, who do you have?
Well, there's a few candidates. The other New York team, the Giants. I mean, holy smokes, are you kidding me? Detroit missing the playoffs by a last minute earlier game. I'm going with Jacksonville, though. Winning the division? Are you kidding me? What were the odds preseason on Jacksonville winning that division?
After the fiasco that was Urban Meyer? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. We I think we all anticipated Peterson coming in and settling things down.
Yes.
And having a good year, maybe getting them to 7-10.
Right.
And building for the future. But what a difference a coach makes.
Well, and I think Rob and I had talked about that. When Peterson got that job, we were like, watch how he gets them playing competitively. Didn't think it'd be here, though. They're in the playoffs. Yep. They won the division. Very impressive stuff out of Jacksonville. Larry, who do you have? Who's your surprise of the year?
Well, Jacksonville is on the top of the list. Yeah. So for all the reasons we just talked about. The other surprise, I think a pleasant surprise, and certainly for people in Minnesota, are the Vikings. I get the division and everything, but, you know, they have such a way of not doing well, you know, right, especially as the season, you know, turns out. And who knows what's going to happen in the playoffs, but they held on. I mean, they're the cream of the crop of that division. And, you know, even if you talk to people in Minnesota, you know, mid-season, I'm not sure they had any confidence that they were going to hold on, really, and bring it home. So, geez, look at their record. And again, it is in that division, but they played better than I think a lot of people thought they would.
Yeah, they did. And they kept finding ways to win those tight games every week. I'd be texting Rob going, dude, this is the week they're going to go down. He's like, nah, they keep doing this. They keep coming back. And they did it over and over and over again. I never had full confidence in Kirk Cousins, but he kept coming up with plays when he had to. I guess I would have to put my surprise with the Seattle Seahawks. Didn't expect anything from them. Thought they'd be terrible. Thought they were kind of tanking and getting ready for the big rebuild. Did they kind of back into the playoffs? Yeah, sort of. But early on, they played well enough to put themselves in that position. So I'll give it to Seattle. You know, a team that surprised me, that I'm not going to make them my surprise, but Pittsburgh was much better than I thought. And down the stretch, and I know they didn't make the playoffs and whatever, I didn't expect anything out of Pittsburgh. Tomlin got them playing better. I'll at least give them a mention. Let's go to the other side, though, because we've got a number of these. If you're looking at a disappointment of the year, Mike, who is your biggest disappointment in the NFL this year?
Oh, God. So, numbers-wise, the Rams had the worst season post-Super Bowl victory,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's right up there, but we got to point the finger at our own house. I mean, the expectations, the national media, everybody was saying, oh, my God, look at the AFC West. You're going to have every team make the playoffs, and now you've got two teams, one team firing their coach, one that wants to that can't because – they're paying too many coaches already. Who knows what happens with Staley if they lose because he was dumb enough to play his starters and he's missing his number one wide receiver in the playoffs.
Side note, idiot. Okay.
Oh, continue. God. Yeah, I think, and as we found out in the last couple of weeks, it was largely due to possibly the worst coaching hire in football history.
That is stunning to me. What the Broncos did in the last 2 weeks of the season, where they literally just promoted from within and said, hey, you run the offense and you take the special teams and I'll do this. And they competed with the top two teams in the division, tells you all you need to know about Nathaniel Hackett.
And basically doubled their average scoring output.
Literally doubled it. I think it jumped from 14.8 to 24.7, something like that.
And, you know, there's different ways of looking at it. I mean, yeah, okay, you get a little glimmer saying, okay, God, you get a real coaching staff in there, and we've got something to play with. But on the other hand, we literally just wasted an entire season
right
with a top-five defense.
And you're going to lose some people.
Older.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's frustrating. So, yeah,
mine's
Broncos. Biggest disappointment.
Okay. Larry, who do you got? Biggest disappointment. I know who you're going to say, but feel free to throw anyone out there.
100%. The Broncos are a disaster this year. So far and away, the biggest disappointment. For all the reasons that, believe me, I don't typically get disappointed, right? Because that would mean my expectations are too high, right? But we thought going into this season that the Broncos had things back on track, and they did not. So I think that far and away. I mean, you can look at a lot of other teams that didn't perform necessarily the way that they thought they would, but those were also bringing maybe a quarterback in and things just like Denver was, but didn't have the expectations that the Broncos did. So 100%, very top of the list. There's probably a big gap between that and whoever might be the second disappointment of the year.
Just the results. It is the sheer and utter incompetence.
It's not just the fact that you lost. So it's the way that you lost.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The fact that it looked so completely dysfunctional and unorganized, I've never seen anything like it. It didn't surprise me. When we did our preview, and we can go back and listen, I said there are a number of ways this season could go wrong for Denver. I didn't think it could go this wrong, though. I didn't think it could be that dysfunctional. There's no way this coach isn't going to understand how to send in plays on time. We're going to take that for granted. All right, I'm not going to get my pressure up.
It will forever be known as the countdown game, right?
Oh my!
Anytime your fans are
counting down the play clock for you because you don't know how. Rob, bring something else to this show. I'm getting angry. Who's your disappointment of the year, Rob?
For me, I'm gonna say the Colts. That was a team, and kind of like you mentioned, I think even more so than the Broncos, that national attention hype. They're just a quarterback away, and even though Matt Ryan didn't play well, I mean, it felt like the rest of the team played a part. It wasn't just bad quarterback play. Like,
correct,
the whole team just completely looked bad.
What happened to the offensive line? What happened to Jonathan Taylor? The defense was suddenly terrible. You're right. It wasn't just, well, they still look a quarterback away. No, everything went badly for them. At least Denver, you say, well, at least their defense played good, for the most of the season. Indy did nothing well all year, and they end the year losing to the worst team in the league. Unbelievable. Yeah, I had Indy up there too. I'm going to throw out another one. And no, they're not in the class of Denver or even the Rams or the Colts. But how disappointing were the Green Bay Packers this year? Not that we expected maybe the Super Bowl, but we were looking at the NFC going, hey, it's up for grabs. I mean, yes, Aaron, you lost Devontae, but hey, develop another wide. Why can't Packers wide receivers catch the ball? Like, they can't catch. And I know we get caught on, he's big, he runs the field, the catching sometimes is a really big part of the receiving. If you don't catch it, it doesn't make any difference. All right, I'm angry now. We're going to move on, and usually we do this at the end, but we're going to bump this up a little bit earlier. If you were naming, because the regular season, just ended, we're just getting ready for playoffs. If you were naming your most valuable player before we get into the playoffs, and usually we wait till the end, and we'll cheat and do it again this year. I don't care. But right now, we're going to say the most valuable player for the regular season. Rob, who would be your most valuable player right now?
For me, it's Mahomes. Tyreek Hill, Hill left, and there were some questions. Could they still, move the ball around and still sling it? And he could. I mean, he still had a great season, still driving that offense, looks, in complete control. So, yeah, that's Mahomes for me.
Good call. Mike, who do you have? Most valuable player right now.
I think seeing how the team played when he was out a few games, I think that bumps up Hurts a bit.
I do too.
I mean, that truly shows how valuable he was.
Yeah.
But I have to agree with Rob. I think it's Mahomes. Everybody thought he was going to regress without Tyreek Hill, who absolutely lit it up in Miami.
Yeah.
He didn't miss a beat.
Two for Mahomes. Larry, what do you have? Most valuable player.
Yeah. Look, I think Mahomes is going to win it. I think Hurts should get consideration. I also think that Josh Allen should. Maybe he should get it more than Mahomes, I think, because he just makes that offense go.
Yeah.
And granted, he has some crap games. You see some stuff from him, but you also see that from Mahomes too, just like we did last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, and if you look at that Buffalo offense, if they didn't have Josh Allen, I don't think they'd be close to where they are record-wise. Mahomes has got tons of weapons. I mean,
yeah,
I know they keep coming in, but I attribute that to the Kansas City organization doing just an exceptional job of just feeding Mahomes all these people that can make everything run. Now he does it for sure. So I think he'll win it, but I would give Josh Allen some votes.
Yeah, I would too. I agree with that 100%. I agree with Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is proving to be extremely valuable. The job that he has done, and I know there were some people saying, hey, plug in someone else. Minshew will be fine. No, he won't. He's not Jalen Hurts. It is very, very different. And it is not quite the same, especially not just what he does with his legs, but the decisions that he makes have been what has separated Jalen Hurts. He doesn't make that costly mistake. He's being very, very smart with the football. I'm going to throw one other guy out there that I think should be getting votes. And I'll tell you why he should get votes. I don't think he will, but he should. Because they ask him to do more than they ask Mahomes to do. And that is Joe Burrow. They ask that kid to do a lot, and he has to do it with defenders hanging on him because that offensive line still isn't very good. I don't know why, but it still hasn't really improved that much. But I think Joe Burrow deserves a few votes. Let's move forward, though. If we were naming our coach of the year, I started with Rob. We'll go to Rob again. Coach of the year right now, regular season is over. Rob, who do you have?
Well, we already mentioned him, Doug Peterson. Like I said, just literally the coach of the year, just the value you see from, you know, Urban before, the year before to this year, just the real impact of, you know, how much a coach means. So for me, yeah, it's got to be Peterson.
Very good pick. Peterson has done a phenomenal job down there. No question about it. Mike, who do you have? Coach of the year, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to pair it the same thing. I think the expectation of ownership and the fan base there was, let's stop the ship from sinking this year and then work on maybe shooting to the playoffs next year. He went from A to Z in 1 year. There are some other that are going to get some votes, but it's got to be him.
Yeah, Peterson's done a great job. Larry, what about you? Coach of the year, who would you nominate?
Kind of like on the same scale as Peterson, I'm going with Dan Campbell. I think he gets more, way more, well, not way more, the same out of less with that Detroit team. And, you know, he's a passionate guy. We know all that kind of stuff. I like Peterson too, but just what he's been able to do with Detroit. I mean, it's amazing. The front office gives the Detroit coach year after year.
Right.
And they've got a winning record, right? So this year, and I think that speaks volumes for him.
Real quick, in our halfway through the season show,
yeah,
I think they're what, 2-6. I had Campbell on my hot seat.
Right, that's how fast it flipped.
I think most of us did.
Yeah,
and he should have been right.
If they don't start the season like that. Just win any of those games. Play any defense this year whatsoever. Detroit's in the playoffs. They played no defense, and they pay for that down the stretch. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go the guy who lost his top two quarterbacks, Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. I know there's a ton of talent around that team. I can hand it to Christian McCaffrey. I can hand it to Deebo Samuel and probably look reasonably good. But you're on your third-string quarterback, and they're the number two seed in the NFC. They have a legit shot to win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback when he lost his young gun in Trey Lance. And then he lost the savvy veteran in Jimmy G, who isn't really savvy or that good. But he went to his third string guy and he's winning games and he's done a great job. I'm going to go with Kyle Shanahan and give that to him. Rob, rookie of the year, you could name offense, you could name defense. We're just going to throw it under one umbrella. Who would you give that rookie of the year to?
I'm going to say Sauce Gardner for the Jets. Like I said, being a rookie and just already kind of commanding that respect, you know, really doesn't get tested too much. Thin guy, so obviously has to pick up some weight, but I mean, already in his first year, you know, he's got that respect.
Absolutely. Mike, who do you have rookie of the year?
Yeah, I like Sauce on defense for sure. That there was almost no, learning curve for him. You know, a lot of times there's some certain players in certain positions where first half of the season you're kind of swimming trying to figure things out, and that goes to coaching too.
Yeah,
they know what he's comfortable with and said go out there and do it. Just cover this guy, kid, and he did it very well. I don't think there's as clear of an offensive player. I think Kenneth Walker is going to get some votes.
Yeah, and should.
Here's a funny thing: if he'd have played more of a full season, Mr. Irrelevant would be your offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, Brock Purdy would probably get those votes because he's winning games. And like I said, he's got a lot of talent around him. But I give Kyle Shanahan again, like Mike said, coaching wise, Kyle Shanahan does a brilliant job of not asking him to do too much. And then what he gives you is bonus because you're not asking him to fire the ball 50 yards downfield. Nathaniel Hackett, I'm not going to get started again. Larry, who is your vote for Rookie of the Year?
And I am going with Purdy. Talk about getting thrown into it, right? And the expectations that went with that job are massive. And he's playing well. And we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But, geez, he's quarterbacking that second seed and doing it well, doing exactly what's asked of him. If all football players did exactly what was asked of them, you know, we'd have a lot of good football, but they don't. And he is. Hey, man, I appreciate what he's doing and the fact that he's keeping that team on track. So he's my vote.
Yeah, I like that pick too. I'd probably go Sauce Gardner. I think not only did he come in and jump in right away, he came in and started defending the top receiver every week, which who's crazy enough to do that? I mean, but he went in and not just went and did it and shut him down. Very, very impressive stuff there. You know, I will give a nod to Chris Olave down in New Orleans. I think he did a very good job. We know Michael Thomas doesn't like to play. Olave seems like he does. So well done to him and a good young wide receiver. We'll see if he can get some help down in New Orleans. Gentlemen, it is time. We're going to jump into these NFL playoffs and we are going to break these things down. It is going to be a whirlwind as we go through every single game of the postseason. Here is the scary part. I'm going to do some math in my head. It's probably going to be wrong, but it's going to be close. I believe, gentlemen, that we have 13 games left in the NFL season. If my math is right, probably isn't, but it's close. Right around 13 games, we're going to pick all 13 of those games right here, right now. Let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to start in the wild card round. Let's start off in the AFC. First up, the Kansas City Chiefs are the number one seed in the AFC. They'll get the bye week as that top seed, although they might not have home field advantage. Talk about that in just a few minutes. The Chiefs have a ton of offensive talent. The defense has been good enough. KC should be considered the favorite in the AFC. But the Chiefs do need to win another bowl, or they are just a dynasty of one, right? They're going to have to find a way to get that second bowl game so they can actually, you know, be a dynasty. Right now, they just have the one win. But let's move on to that next game. The number two Buffalo Bills will be hosting the Miami Dolphins this weekend in the wild card round. And these two teams played two very tight games this year. Miami came out on top by a field goal back in week 3. Buffalo got the win in week 15, also by just a field goal. However, the health of Miami quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is in question for this game. I do not like the direction that Miami is headed in right now. I can't come up with a way that Miami wins this game against Buffalo this weekend in the wild card round, but feel free to tell me I'm wrong. Larry, who do you like, Bills versus Dolphins this weekend?
Easy pick, Buffalo.
Larry is going Buffalo. Mike. Buffalo, Miami this weekend. Who do you have?
It's a 10-point line, and it's not enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Rob, gonna switch things up and go with Miami here?
I am not. Bills all the way.
Everyone, we go 4 votes for Buffalo, so the Dolphins will pull the upset. If Miami was fully healthy and Tua wasn't wearing, you know, the big dark helmet or whatever, maybe there'd be a chance there, but I don't like that. And Buffalo seems like they're kind of figuring things out. They're getting going a little bit. I don't like that pick for Miami this week. I think that's a bad matchup. We move on to the number 3 seed, the Cincinnati Bengals, who will be hosting the very familiar Baltimore Ravens. And the Bengals are one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. They started off a little slow. I still have some questions about how they protect Joe Burrow, but that Bengals offense can be explosive. That defense is very good. The question to me in this game, what is the status of Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? If Lamar's back, I don't see the Ravens going away quietly. But if they don't have Lamar, I just don't know how they compete at that level. I'm going to take the Bengals on this. Let's start with Rob, because Rob, I know you had the Ravens going to the Super Bowl prior to the year, and even at midseason, you stuck with Baltimore. We don't know the status of Lamar Jackson, though. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, like I said, if Lamar was healthy or if Lamar does play, you know, I would stick with the Ravens. You know, they just played this past weekend. It was a close game.
Yeah.
And Ravens is just, it's such a different team, you know, with Lamar. They can do so much more. But I'm going to pick the Bengals just because I'm leaning. I don't think, you know, Lamar's ready, or if he is, certainly not healthy. He's just been, you know, they've been dragging along this injury, questionable. So even if he does play, it's not like ready to go, fully healed. If he does play, he's probably still going to be a little hobbled. And it's a knee injury, and we know part of his game is his leg. So because he's not healthy, I'm going to go Bengals.
Larry, Bengals, Ravens, what do you got?
Yeah, I like the Bengals for the same reasons. I don't know. I think they'll try and push Lamar Jackson to play, obviously, if he's, you know, if he can.
Yeah.
Which means we don't know if he's really going to be ready to play full speed. Home game for Cincy. I think they're good enough. I think they, you know, it may not be a large margin, but I got the Bengals.
Mike, going to change things up? You're going to go with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson to come back, or you're going to go with Cincy?
No, like Rob said, if Lamar plays, and I bet he does, he's not going to be 100%. And in his biggest weapon is his legs.
Yeah.
We've seen it in the playoffs before where you've dared him to just throw it, and he didn't do it very well. He has improved his throwing since then, but
yeah.
I just, if he's a one-dimensional guy, I don't see it. And Baltimore always has they've got the playoff history. Harbaugh's a good playoff coach. They've got a good defense. It's going to be close, but I don't see a way they beat the Bengals.
There's no chance Lamar's sitting out and saying, hey, Ravens, keep in mind what I bring to the table here, right? Like he's hurt, right? Okay. Let's move on to the final game this weekend in the AFC. Our final AFC wildcard game will feature the surprising number 4 Jacksonville Jaguars, who win the AFC South. They will be hosting the very talented but always injured Los Angeles Chargers. I am very impressed. We talked about the job that Doug Peterson has done with his team. They've had the top pick in the draft for like the last 25 years. On the other side, though, we have the Chargers and head coach Brandon Staley, who thinks he's smarter than everyone else in the NFL. I give Peterson the coaching advantage here, but I think the Chargers just have more talent. They have the better quarterback. Having said that, the Chargers play to the level of whoever they play. So I expect this to be a really close game. I'm going to take the Chargers to eke one out and actually get a playoff win. Mike, Chargers, Jaguars, who do you like in the wild card round?
I think if it was in LA or a neutral site, wait, is that the same thing?
Yes.
I think the Jacksonville crowd will be crazy. How long has it been since they've been in a playoff?
Since they beat us.
Oh, God. Mark Brunell. I think traveling across the country like that, I like you said, I give a nod, a definite nod to the coaching advantage to the Jaguars. I'm going with Jacksonville.
Going to go Jacks. All right. Rob, Jaguars, Chargers, who do you like?
I'm going Chargers. Like I said, Jags definitely the better coach, but I just think talent-wise, assuming Williams and Bosa are both okay, looks like they'll play. If they both play, I just think that offense with Herbert is good enough to get that final drive field goal to win it. So a close game, but I'm going Chargers.
Yeah, I think my vote is Herbert. I think it's Herbert over Lawrence. It's not, because if we go coaches, Staley drives me crazy. Larry, Chargers, Jaguars, who do you like?
Yeah, I'll take the Chargers too. Okay. I think Herbert's better, like you said, over if we're matching quarterbacks up. Better talent overall. They do. I think it is a real deal, though, right? That the Chargers are playing, and I think it's a late game, super late, and so I think Chargers definitely have some things working against them. But end of day, I think the Chargers will pull it out. It'll be close.
What are the odds that Staley goes for it on fourth down at his own 8-yard line or some dumb thing and costs them this game? I won't put it past him. He thinks he's a genius. I haven't seen it yet. Let's move over to the NFC, where we have some very interesting games this weekend as well. The Philadelphia Eagles, of course, are the top seed in the NFC. They have the bye. They need that bye. Jalen Hurts played in that final week of the season, but you can see really good. He's not 100%. He needs another week. He needs to get better. If Hurts is healthy, the Eagles are going to be a very tough out. I think he needs to get back to 100% though. However, next up, at the number two seed, we have the San Francisco 49ers. They will be hosting those surprising Seattle Seahawks. The Niners are now on their third quarterback. But when you have Christian McCaffrey, you have Deebo Samuel, and you have a nasty, vicious defense, you can do some things. Kyle Shanahan puts Brock Purdy in good situations. The Seattle Seahawks, meanwhile, have been a fun story. I really like Kenneth Walker. We talked about him a little bit. I just think this is a bad matchup for Seattle. And as excited as people have gotten about Geno Smith, 10 years is a big sample size. He hasn't been very good in those 10 years. San Francisco beat the Seahawks twice already. I think they make it three times here. Larry, San Francisco, Seattle this weekend in the wild card round. Who do you have?
100% agree. I think, you know, Seattle has a maybe has a shot if they're playing in Seattle, but they're not. They're in San Francisco. It's going to be crazy. San Francisco is looking for bigger and better things. I think Shanahan will have the team ready. And like you said, Geno Smith, I think, is Geno Smith. He's been a feel-good story this year, but I just don't see there's just too much, you know, too much firepower on the San Fran side.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike,
this one might not be very close at all.
I would agree with that. I could see that real easily. Mike, San Francisco, Seattle, who do you have?
Yeah, I San Francisco in a walk. I don't see any scenario with that defense.
Yeah.
I think you or I could play quarterback and keep it close.
I think I could keep it at least close.
You know, like you said, hand it off to Deebo, throw a little 2-yard crosser to Deebo or Brandon Ayuk or hand it off to Christian McCaffrey. I mean, come on.
Got the tight end. Yeah, you got a lot of options.
They're so loaded. San Francisco going to walk.
Yeah. Rob, got anything different for us? Gonna pick Geno. He's your guy.
No, he's my guy back from West Virginia. But no, it's 49ers. Like I said, as good as that defense is, that Seahawks defense doesn't always show up.
No.
So like I said, I can't see them. Even if Geno can kind of keep it close with Metcalf and Lockett, I don't see how the 49ers offense just, you know, doesn't roll.
Yeah. You know, they always say it's tough to beat a team three times. It's also tough to beat a team once that has stomped on you twice. And I think that's going to be the situation here. We move next to the number three seed. The Minnesota Vikings will be hosting the New York Giants in the wild card round. All season, we talked about it earlier, the Vikings, they just keep finding ways to eke out these tight wins. And yet every game kind of feels like, well, they just might lose this thing. They're going to face the New York Giants, who've kind of done the same thing. They grind out wins with a healthy Saquon Barkley, quarterback Daniel Jones. He's making enough plays. I don't know if he's great, but they're scraping out some close wins too. I expect this game to actually probably come down to the wire because that's just how both teams play. And the good news for the Minnesota Vikings, this game isn't in primetime. Primetime Kirk might not be great. This game is going to be a little earlier in the day. Should be a better situation for the Vikings. You know, these two teams played in week 16. The Vikings won by a field goal. I think it's going to be very similar here. I'm going to go with the Vikings. Mike, Vikings, Giants, who do you like?
Yeah, a matchup of rookie coaches, right?
I mean, yeah.
The big turnaround for the Vikings from 2022 season from 2021 is the close games they won.
Yep.
They lost all those games in 2021.
You're right.
Like every one of them. And then this year they won them all and then had a historic comeback to boot. The quarterbacks, I lean slightly towards Cousin. I'm not in love with either one of them.
Right.
I think Cousin's a little bit more talented. I think they've got more offensive firepower. I like the Giants' defense. I like the way they're playing. But in the dome, give me Minnesota and a close one.
Larry, Minnesota, Giants, who do you like?
Well, I'm kind of backing myself into a corner here so far because we know not everything's going to go the favorite's way, right? So I am going to take the Giants on the upset. Again, look, this might be a total loss, right? But I think we've seen a lot of good things from the Giants. They'll be excited, right, to be in the playoffs.
Very.
I think defense is there. Don't know about the offense. But then you always have those questions about the Vikings too. So I think this pick is more along the lines of, you know, a lot of these other games I think are slam dunks. Not so sure about this one. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the Giants.
Okay. Got one of each. Rob, break this tie. You got Giants. You got Vikings. Who do you have?
I've got Vikings. I certainly would not be surprised, like Larry said, if the Giants upset them, would not be a surprise at all. But at the end of the day, I think that offense is enough with just Dalvin Cook, Hockenson tight end. Just they'll be able to score. They're at home. It's not prime time. It will obviously be close because it's a Vikings game, but I think they'll get it done at the end.
Okay. We're going to go three Vikings, one Giants, but I think that's a very close game. I think that's probably a field goal either way. I think that should be a very, very fun one. We finish off our wild card preview as well as the weekend because we have a Monday night playoff game this year, which is going to be kind of weird. But the 8-9 Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the NFC South by default. Therefore, they will be hosting the number 5 Dallas Cowboys. Hey, the Buccaneers have looked awful for most of the year. And yet, it's really hard to throw dirt on Tom Brady. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys, at times, they look like a legitimate contender. They might be one of the best teams in the NFC. Their offense can be explosive. The defense, sometimes they can get stops. They should take the Buccaneers to the woodshed on Monday night here. Having said that, why do I feel like this game is going to be a lot closer than it should be? The Cowboys aren't good on the road. They're not good on grass. I'm taking Tampa in the upset. I'm taking the Buccaneers. I can't bring myself to bet against Brady in at least the first round. I don't think he can go any further, but I'm taking Tampa in this game. Rob, Tampa versus Dallas. What do you have?
It's hard to go against Brady, but give me the Cowboys. Just overall the season, just a better season. It is the Cowboys and, you know, the playoffs. So I know this, but I haven't trusted the Bucks all season. So give me the Cowboys.
That's fair. That's fair. Mike, what do you got? Dallas, Tampa.
Out of all the matchups this coming weekend, this is the one I've struggled with the most.
I have to.
Like you said, the Bucks have just...
They're not fun to watch.
Playing any other division and they're on the outside looking in, you know? Yeah. It is Tom Brady. It And on the other hand, it is the Cowboys. So,
right.
I mean, by those two statements... Tampa wins. I think, and I don't like saying this, I think the Cowboys get off the schneid and finally win a playoff game for the first time.
It has to happen sometime. 7 years.
Yes.
If it doesn't, McCarthy's on the hot seat, isn't he? You can't beat an 8-9 team? Has to be. Larry, Dallas, Tampa, who do you have?
So I guess technically this will be my second upset, right? Because I'm going to take Dallas.
All right.
I mean, toughest game on the slate to try and figure out, you know, which this is one of the which teams want to lose it the least.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I certainly anticipate the fact that we get to hear about the Cowboys for, you know, a full week. Inundated with how great they are until they lose in the second round.
Right.
So I think they do what they need to do to beat the kind of the hapless Bucks.
They will thump their chest and talk about how they ended Brady's reign at the age of 57.
Aren't they a favorite? Aren't the Cowboys a favorite? I don't know if that's an upset.
Oh, seed wise is
okay.
The only thing I'm looking at. Yeah.
Okay. We have made our picks for the wild card round. We're not done. We're going to move on to the divisional round. I'm going to attempt to get these right here because I have our picks so far. First up, in the divisional round in the AFC, I've got Chiefs versus Chargers on the AFC side in the divisional round. I am going to advance the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, you have got Chiefs versus Chargers as well in your divisional round. Who are you taking to advance past and go on to the championship round?
This is the Chiefs. This is where Staley's coaching gets him in trouble.
Yeah, so that's exactly where I'm at. All right. Mike, you are up next. You have Chiefs versus Jacksonville You were the lone pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars advancing. You've got Chiefs versus Jags. Who's going on?
Yeah, it doesn't matter who comes out of that game. They're losing to Kansas City.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Larry, you've got Chiefs versus Chargers. Who's going to come out? You're going to go Chiefs as well. All right. Yeah. We move to the other game in the AFC. Rob, you have got Cincinnati versus Buffalo, as do I. I'm going to advance the Buffalo Bills to go on. Who are you going to take?
Give me the Bengals.
You're going to go Cincy. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. We have a rematch of last year. Larry, you have got Cincinnati versus Buffalo as well. Who's moving on?
Yeah, I'm taking Buffalo. You mentioned it earlier. I know Joe Burrow is really good, and I think lots of pieces of Cincinnati are good too, but they can't protect him. I think he can't pull off the magic he did last year in the playoffs. I'll take Buffalo.
Fair enough. Mike, you've got Cincinnati versus Buffalo. Who's going on?
I think the loss of Von Miller is huge for Buffalo.
Good point.
I think they were a close-knit team to begin with. And I think the events of last weekend made them a tighter team. I think they're on more of a mission. I think they've been on a mission all year based on how their season ended last year. I don't like picking against Cincinnati. They've been one of my teams all year, but I'm going with Buffalo.
Okay. Very, very interesting there. All right, let's move on. We're going to go over to the NFC side. We are going to start with that top seed, the Philadelphia Eagles. And I believe I'm the only fool that took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to advance. So the rest of you, I am taking Philly to move on. Larry, you have got Philly versus Dallas in an NFC East divisional rivalry there. Who's moving on, Dallas or Philly?
Yeah, I think Philly is. I think they're the better team. I think Jalen Hurts gets healthy. And like I said just a bit ago, I think then, we can finally throw the dirt on Dallas.
Yeah, I would enjoy that quite a bit. Rob, you know that would be a big game for your Eagles if they were facing Dallas in the playoffs. You got Dallas pulling the upset in this bad boy?
No, sir. Just like Larry said, I got the Eagles coming through.
Yeah, I do too. Mike, we're going to go 4-for-4 here. You're going to pick those Cowboys to actually advance past, something they've done back in 95 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I in our mid-season special that we did earlier, I had Philly in the Super Bowl, and I'm sticking with it. I think Dallas might keep it close, but then Dak throws his, pick six in the last five weeks, something like that. So
sounds about right.
Yeah, Philly's moving on.
All right. We finish up the divisional round with I've got San Francisco facing Minnesota in the other game in the divisional round. I'm going to take San Francisco to advance in that game. Larry, you are the lone dissenter here. You have got San Fran playing the New York Giants. The Giants going to be a team on a mission and advance past this, or are you going to have San Francisco moving on?
I got San Francisco moving on. I think they're a better team. Yeah, Giants are good for, one game, I think.
Good for a couple of laughs.
Good for a couple of laughs. They try. Nice try. San Fran wins.
Rob, you've got San Francisco versus Minnesota. Who's going on?
49ers.
Yeah, I think 49ers are going to be a tough out. Mike, you are the last one. Niners, Vikings, what do you have?
I don't think the Vikings can match up with that Niners defense. It's the Niners.
We have got some real close picks here. It's not identical, but it's very, very close. We move on to the championship weekend. Now, Mike brought this up before. Because they canceled that Cincinnati-Buffalo game, they gave the top seed to Kansas City because Buffalo couldn't win that game. They couldn't keep that record. As a result, if the AFC championship game is between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, it has to be played on a neutral site. Where do you even put it? I don't even know what they're doing here. This is why we talked about it earlier.
Mile High will be empty if they need a place to go.
It will be wide open. You know where I think they'll put it is in probably in Indy, and they'll put it indoors. I could easily see them doing that. I hate that. These are both outdoor teams. I don't like it. Championship game, Buffalo versus KC on a neutral field. I want to see both of these teams at home. This is stupid. Whatever. I'm going to go with Kansas City to advance. Mike, Buffalo versus the Chiefs in like Tempe, Arizona. I don't know. Who's moving on?
Yeah, who knows? It's so unfortunate and so odd. It's two of the best fan bases in all.
It
of
is.
Football, right?
Yes.
And neither of them are going to get the pleasure of hosting the AFC Championship game. I'm sticking with my preseason pick and putting Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Going Buffalo. All right. Rob has Chiefs versus Cincinnati, which means this game would be played in Arrowhead Stadium. Who's going on?
I'm actually going to take the Bengals. For whatever reason, the Chiefs struggle with them. I think it's just one of those shootout games. They have the ball last, and they get them by a field goal again. So give me the Bengals.
Oh, that would make me really happy. I'd enjoy watching that game. Larry, you've got Buffalo. You've got Kansas City. They're playing in, Tuscaloosa. Who's coming out on top?
I really like the way Rob's going with that. I don't think that'll happen. They'll be in Vegas or in the SoFi. You know, can you just imagine the owners that are lobbying for that game right now? Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I think that's what's going to happen. By the way, we see enough of the Kansas City fan base up in the mountains every week. For whatever reason, they have to wear their coats and inundate, Colorado with the fact that they're from Kansas City. So it doesn't matter to me that they're not at home for this game because I see enough of them every weekend anyway.
No, I bet you do. Yeah. They are a tad annoying in my personal opinion. Let's see. We've all got our picks down for the AFC side. And we have three, you've got three different picks. The only one sharing the same pick right now, me and Larry both have the Chiefs advancing. Mike has Buffalo advancing. Rob has the Bengals going on. Okay, let's move over to the NFC side. All four of us have got Niners versus Eagles. Mike, Niners versus Eagles. Who is going to the Super Bowl?
Oh, man, this
is the heavyweight fight right here.
This reminds me of when the NFC dominated the Super Bowl every year, and the NFC Championship was basically for the Super Bowl winner because the AFC was just going to get wiped. You had your Dallas versus Niners. You had your, the Washington was tough. You know, these are two tough, hard-nosed teams. God, I just, only because they would be hosting the game, I'm gonna stick with Philadelphia.
Okay. Rob, your Eagles make it to the championship game. They face a very talented San Francisco squad who is going to Super Bowl 57.
Give me the Eagles. I think this is the game where Purdy shows he's a rookie, where the schemes, it's not there. The pass is open. The pressure finally gets to him. You know, as good as he's played, I think this is the game where it all comes crashing down. So give me the Eagles.
All right. Larry, finish us off. Who do you have? San Francisco, Philadelphia, in Philly. Who's winning this game?
I am going to deviate and go with San Francisco.
Woo!
Yeah, I midseason I had Philadelphia. Yeah. I still think they, this is the conference championship game. They could still do it. Wouldn't surprise me. I just look at the weapons. You know, I know Purdy's a rookie. He's, probably going to be in over his head. But I think they coach a game. And they've added McCaffrey. I think he's a huge add as a weapon. I think that's going to test the defense for Philly. I'm going to go with San Fran.
So we have as follows, Super Bowl 57. I've got Chiefs versus Eagles. Rob has got Bengals versus Eagles. Mike has Bills versus Eagles. And Larry has Chiefs versus San Francisco 49ers. Now is where it really gets serious, because now you got to pick who's actually going to win Super Bowl 57. Rob, you are up first. You've got Bengals versus Eagles. Who is winning the whole thing? Rob, you're an Eagles fan. There's no way you can go with Joe Burrow and those boys.
You are correct. I'm going to take the Eagles. This is where the line comes back to haunt them, just like it did last year. Burrow's made it this far. They've been putting up points, but that Eagles defense gets to him, you know, just doesn't give him time to throw. So give me the birds.
Back-to-back Super Bowl losses for Joe Burrow. That's a rough way to go for that kid. All right, Mike, you're up next. You've got Buffalo versus Philly. Who's coming out on top in Super Bowl 57?
Yeah, I got to stay with my preseason pick. Buffalo's winning it all.
Bills, I'm writing that one down. You did pick them at the very beginning of the year, didn't you? Larry, you have got the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Who is winning Super Bowl 57?
I think the Chiefs win.
Yeah.
I think they put that second one up. And I think it'll be a great game. But for some of the reasons Rob mentioned about San Fran in the conference, I'll take the Chiefs.
I will finish that off, and I will go the same way with Larry. I have the Eagles versus the Chiefs, and I will go with the Chiefs coming out on top. But it all gets started this weekend. We are going to have games, three on Saturday, three on Sunday, and one on Monday? Is that what we have? Something like that. It's a bunch. They expanded the playoffs. We're going to see if it's better because we do look at, you know, Seattle. We look at Miami. We look at some of those, you know, teams that kind of scraped in. Is it going to be better? I don't know. Those are games that we all kind of picked maybe as blowouts, but we'll see. You know, the thing about a single elimination tournament, anything can happen. We know in the NFL, anything can happen from week to week. There's always surprises coming every single week in this league. And that's the best part about it. As much as a lot of people, you know, want to throw the league away and say, you know, people might get hurt. This league is unpredictable every single week and, you know, freak things do happen, but man, I think I just read a stat that over 200 games this year were decided by less than a field goal. That's just what the NFL is every single year. We just have competitive games and you don't know who's going to be better. You don't know who's going to slide back. It just makes it so much fun every single year in the NFL. Rob, you are the sitting president of the Daily Dose I team. You got any final thoughts for us as we finish off our NFL preview this year?
No, I'm just looking forward to it. I think it was a great season. As always, it goes by fast. It feels like, you know, we're just
too fast.
The preseason.
No,
we were just talking about preseason a couple weeks ago, and here we are going into the playoffs. So good season, and definitely looking forward to the playoffs.
Should be a lot of fun. Mike, any final thoughts for us as we head into the playoffs here?
Yeah, this is the second year with the seventh seed. I hope that the games involving the seventh seed are more competitive than last year.
I do too.
If you remember last year, they were dog butt games. They were awful.
Yeah.
And we were questioning as to whether or not the seventh seed deserve to be there or should be there. I hope they're not going to get rid of it. You know,
it's too much money.
Right. So, but you just hope for good games.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we have competitive games in that wild card round. Larry, you are the veteran. You are the savvy, wily veteran. What do you have for us for final thoughts on this NFL playoff preview?
Same. I'm just looking for really good games. I'm okay with the expanded playoffs. I mean, we're playing football anyway, right? So it's not like we're filling up, you know, time that was being unused anyway. I will say though that the regular season seemed pretty mediocre to me, right? I found myself watching games that, yeah, they were close games because, you know, they were low scoring and there wasn't a lot going on. So I think I just think that there's a problem there with overall with the quality of play. Hopefully the playoffs and Super Bowl won't disappoint. I think there's a good chance of that. We all have seen the teams that go worst first and whatever. Those are good news stories. So yeah, really looking forward to see how the rest of the season plays out. It's going to be fun.
Well, let's hope that we get good competitive games. Let's hope that we get, now that we've kind of weeded out, you know, some of those teams, let's see the best of the best as we go into the NFL playoffs. Hopefully we are meeting again and we're getting together after the Super Bowl and we're saying what a wild ride that was. Looking forward to these playoffs right now. Hey, let's try to hook up again and see if we can do this after the Super Bowl. And should be a lot of fun then. And we'll see, you know, how all these picks that we all got right.
Go Jags.
Hey, thanks for coming in. Always appreciate you guys stopping by.
Thanks, Clint.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be doing something totally different. We have a guest coming by next week. And I'm telling you right now, if you have a young person in your life that is participating in youth sports, or you know someone involved in youth sports, you are a parent involved in youth sports, you are a coach involved in them. Trust me, you need to be sure that you tune into The Daily Dose next week, and be sure that you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to our illustrious panel, Big Rob, Mike from Castle Rock, Larry from Centennial, for stopping by The Daily Dose and breaking down those NFL playoffs. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for checking out the new stuff going on over at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything else, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the video, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.